Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Got an hour to go until our Fryer Friday, but before then, we'll get Don't Do This, Ben Reed's Raps coming up. Glenn Hoffman, Padres third base coach, is going to be our guest today from Philadelphia at 8:35 as the Padres open a six-game road trip. They'll head to Philly and then to Cincinnati before returning home to host the Boston Red Sox and the L.A. Dodgers on the next homestand. And at least the road trip probably going to be without Fernando Tatis Jr., expected to be placed on the 10-day injured list today with Ty France coming up. What's your thoughts on third base coaches, by the way, since we're going to have Glenn Hoffman on?
Important. Very important.
I feel like that they got talked about a lot more in the past, and you don't hear as much. Maybe it's just here because Glenn Hoffman doesn't make any big mistakes. But I feel like when I was a kid, it was like, oh, man, I can't believe he sent that guy, or why didn't he send that guy? And it was constant. Now it feels like the decisions are always, yeah, oh yeah, he did the right thing there.
You don't see a lot of glare. I mean, especially from Glenn Hoffman, you don't see a lot of glaring mistakes. I think if you're a bad third base coach, it's pretty obvious. But I couldn't name you one that's
right.
Oh, that guy's terrible. What's he doing? Like, I see the two I see the most are Phil Nevin and Glenn Hoffman, and both of them are pretty good at what they do.
Yeah, I think the fact that you don't hear Glenn Hoffman's name mentioned much means he's probably doing a pretty good job.
Anonymity is a really good thing for what would you rather be? Would you like to coach first base or third base?
Ooh, I would say I'd rather coach third base.
Okay, because now you're the guy that relays the signs
right.
to the hitter, so you got to know you can't F up at all. Like if Andy's giving you, Ben, signals, you got to relay them.
I know that there's the pressure of that, but that also feels like it'd be more fun because you're in the game constantly doing the signals. Plus, you actually get to make that big decision, the send or go. Makes you a little more part of the team than just the first base coach.
It's not all it's cracked up to be. It's pretty terrifying in a big game
Plus
to be coaching third base.
You get to wave your arm around in a big circle or put your hands up, stop, stop.
I would do that when I was coaching high school ball. I always coached third, and man, there was a couple of times.
There's a couple.
You send the kid, and he gets thrown out by 6 feet, and I wear it. I feel terrible. That's
100%.
My call.
It's your fault.
Leaving the kid out to dry.
Have to ask Glenn Hoffman about that. Is there any like big mistakes that he still thinks about? Like, oh man,
I can't believe I
threw that
him.
Guy out. He wasn't even halfway home by the time the ball got to home plate.
Yeah, and the beating of being a first base coach is you got to time all the guys' moves. They always got that stopwatch in their hand, and guys don't steal as much as they used to, but still, like that lefty on the mound, like you're watching
feels
for
like
the pickoff
first base,
move.
You're just like, back.
Yeah,
I mean,
back.
It's just like, yeah,
back. Hey, but you got to be the first back.
True.
You got to be the first and you got to be the loud. You don't want anybody to outback you if you're coaching first base.
I hope Tatis still gets to his 2020 season now.
I know.
What is he? Four stolen bases that he needs to get to 2020. The stolen base numbers have gone down significantly, even before the injury here. He had one like last week, but before that, or one or two. But before that, he had gone several weeks between stolen bases. And I think it's a combination. I mean, he's been caught a couple of times, but he's not running as much. They pay a lot more attention to him at first base now. He gets a lot of throws over there.
Yeah, a ton.
I think some of that is, he dances around. He wants to be noticed, and that's a skill. You're trying to distract the pitcher more than steal a base.
And
sometimes
it works, yeah.
You're trying to get the pitcher's focus off the batter to help out in that way. It may hurt your chances at stealing a base because I think the best way to steal second is kind of they forget about you, a couple of times over there.
They're not going to forget about him, though.
But they're never going to forget about
him. Never. I mean, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I can't wait to ask Coffee the question of, hey, are there conversations internally about, hey, man, I love the way that you play with your hair on fire, but you may want to tamp it down. You know, the overrunning of the bag, the sliding through the bag, a couple of things that happen with a young, aggressive player that, you know, I just want to know, do they talk about it, or do they just say, hey, you know, you go out and do you, you're going to be fine, and you're going to learn, you know, from your own mistakes.
I wonder how instrumental he is as well in how the Padres slide. Because, you know, every player has their own preference, whether they're head first, feet first. I mean, you'll have some guys who swear, hey, I don't want to see anyone going in head first. You're going to injure yourself that way. But there's no doubt, Woods, that going in head first can be an advantage to guys.
Sure.
In terms of you can reach, you can pick what side of the bag you want to reach toward. You can try to avoid a tag better that way. If you're sliding in feet first, I mean, you're just, that's it. They're either going to tag you or not. You can't really do anything about it. You go head first, you can, you know, twist, turn a little bit. We've seen Fernando,
the swim move.
Yeah, we've seen Fernando Tatis do basically a matrix, you know, going back to
insanity
to first base at some point. But there's the disadvantage of it as well, that you're putting your hands out in that vulnerable position. You can jam yourself when you hit the bases. But then you go feet first, and we've seen you get the bag and slide too hard and go right past it and then get tagged the other way as well. And a lot of that this year as well. I mean, I can remember at least three or four occasions when Padres have overslid second base and got called out. Well, Myers did it recently. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yep.
Did it. Now, he kind of got kicked off by the second baseman, and they didn't call that. But it does seem like it's happening more and more often nowadays. And I don't know why. Maybe Glenn Hoffman's got an answer for that.
Yeah, I also want to know what that oven mitt's all about. I really do. I've never put one on. Because if you wore that in my league, if somebody brought out an oven mitt, I think.
Now, it can't just be a standard oven mitt.
It can't be soft.
That would not,
right?
I mean, yeah, if you've ever put on an oven mitt, I imagine most people have, that wouldn't protect your fingers from getting hurt.
No.
If someone stepped on your hand.
I want to know what it's
and
about.
You were wearing an oven mitt, you're still getting, your fingers are still getting crushed. So
right.
Is there like Kevlar? Is like a bulletproof.
Seriously.
Hand vest?
I don't know what, I've never put my hand in one. They're not selling them at Dick's Sporting Goods yet, but once that starts making its way into adult league, I will have to laugh if a guy gets to first and calls for his oven mitt. That will kill me.
I hope I don't have a lot of hope that the Padres are going to be a wild card team at this point. I think that would be unrealistic. We talk a lot about 500. They're 8 games under. They're only 4 games out of second place at this point. The Diamondbacks and Giants are currently tied. They're at 500, 61 and 61. I don't anticipate either of those teams making a really solid push at the end of the season.
No.
You could end up with 4 teams below 500 at the end of the year in the National League West. I wouldn't mind seeing the Padres be that second place team, though. At least show me something this last month and a half of the season. If you're not playing for first, play for second. It's somewhere we haven't seen the Padres since 2010. I think, and while it doesn't get you anything, it doesn't get you to the playoffs. Some people say, why wouldn't you just finish last? You get a better draft pick. This is a team that needs to learn how to win, you know, kind of down the stretch in big games. And I don't think just playing out the string and getting to the off season is going to serve them very well at this point.
Yeah, if we don't sign Manny Machado in the off season, Ben, tank season is in full effect right now. That's what I would say, right? Like, all right, shut Toddy down. Don't bring him back. Bring up as many young kids as you can. Let's see what we got, and let's play for that draft pick. I'm with you. I want the young kids to be part of at least grinding out the end of a season, trying to get to 500. At this point, Benny, I think if the Padres got to 500, holy, I think it would be quite an accomplishment being 8 games back right now.
I know people scoff.
It's going to be tough, though.
They scoff at the notion of momentum, especially one season to the next.
Season to season.
You know, how can you have momentum after you've sat out, you know, 4 or 5 months between the end of the season and spring training? Yet, many times you see teams make that progression.
Yes.
The Cubs, the Astros recently, where you're a young team and you got to start somewhere with the wins and you build on them. And that feeds into the next year, and you take another step forward. So I think the Padres can get some of that step out of the way with a good finish to this season. So that's what I'm really looking for these last, 6 weeks or so, 6-7 weeks that they've got left in the baseball regular season. Not a playoff push like A.J. Preller was talking about a couple of weeks ago, but a push of some sort.
Be a spoiler. You know, go in and ruin somebody.
This is a great
year.
Series to do it.
Yeah.
You know, Philly hot. They just swept the Cubs. They're a game out of the second wild card spot now in the National League. I'm sure they're thinking, they're licking their chops, seeing a 56-64 team come into town, and they're thinking,
without Tatis,
all right, now we can, they're thinking 6-game winning streak now at this point. This is where you have to show something a little bit against a team that has true playoff aspirations right now.
Well, Chris Paddock on the bump tonight against Vince Velasquez. Vince Velasquez is a guy that I remember seeing pitch years ago and thinking to myself, this kid's going to be a star. I mean, he had all of the qualities, the stuff. I think mentally he's not great. I think he gets like rattled pretty easily from the times I've seen him pitch. But he's a very hittable pitcher. I mean, this is a game tonight. You'd love to see Paddock go out, go 7 strong. You'd love to see the offense, you know, get going, stay going from the other day, and just go out and win this first game, man, and establish something. Like, start a good road trip. Start it tonight.
Yeah, I mentioned, Ty France is likely coming up and taking the roster spot of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Let's see it.
See what he's got, and I'd love to see Luis Urias, who has started to heat up with the bat.
Stay hot.
Have that strong finish to the season. Answer some of these questions before spring training next year. I don't want to see the Padres show up in Peoria with, you know, 9 different question marks in the rotation, in the starting lineup. Let's settle some of those questions now and then just have a couple more questions to answer, holes to fill when they get around to February, March next year.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. This is where guys like Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, you know, some of the veterans on the team need to sit those young guys down and say, look, we're still playing for something here. We're not out of it. I think I saw yesterday 0.3% chance of making the playoffs. So
1 in 300.
So
basically.
Yeah. So you're telling me good. There's a chance. It's not good, but hey, as long as you're still breathing, go get it. You know, try your hardest.
All right, coming up in the next 30 minutes, be listening for your name to be called our biggest fan of the day. If you hear it, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Red Sox on Sunday, August 25th, plus a pair of football tickets to the Rose Bowl when Oklahoma takes on the UCLA Bruins. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a 2-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel on the Vegas Strip and tickets to see Paula Abdul's new show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan for your chance to enter. That's coming up in the next 30 minutes. Don't Do This is next. I have a story that I think Hammer is going to have to join us for.
Is it about weed?
It's not about weed. It's okay. About his other great passion in life. See if you can figure that out.
All right. And I've got the things that we think but should not say coming up next.
All right. That's next with Ben and Woods.
Don't Do This.
I got a little surprise for you.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't Do This.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got time for the origin story of Don't Do This? I don't know if we've shared enough for, like, new listeners who, hey, yeah, I listened to that segment. Where did it come from, though, Woods?
It came from my wife, Hannah. That's the voice that you hear.
Don't Do This.
That is actually her. And sometimes, if I get a little worked up about something, which is often, she'll just say, don't do this. And sometimes it shuts me down. Sometimes it doesn't.
For instance, this morning, were you the perpetrator of a don't do this at your own home?
I was. She gets up before me because it's insane. But she goes and hits the treadmill as I'm like wiping the sleep from my eyes. And she's always like, why don't you ever make the bed? I'm like, because I got to go to work. I'm running late. I'm trying to get out of the house. And so today I made the bed. I made half of the bed. I made my side. And that's a big don't do this in my home. And she's like, you finally make the bed. It's on my Twitter, at the Stephen Woods. You finally make the bed and you only make your half. You're really something.
You are something.
Thank you.
That is a don't do
Appreciate
this.
It.
All right, 3 sports stories from the world of sports that make you shake your head. I will start first for the soccer fans out there. What's the worst thing, Woods, you can do as a fan? I mean, there's not a lot you can
don't do
to affect your team. Like do the wave at the wrong moment when your team is batting. That's dumb.
That's soccer? No.
No, no, I mean, just any sport. Just there's not a lot a fan can do to negatively impact their team. But one fan of Liverpool, of the English Premier League, found a way to do it. Their backup goalkeeper, Adrian, is no longer available. The Spaniard came up big in a penalty shootout win over Chelsea a few days ago, saved the big clutch goal to get the win 5-4.
Yeah, I remember it well.
So that caused fans to run out onto the field. One fan who was trying to evade security slid into Adrian, who is now out with a swollen ankle. So the fan trying to celebrate his team's win actually injured the star player of the game and has now knocked him out for the future.
That's
like the worst thing you can do as a fan. Injure one of your own players.
God, you remember the Hank Aaron home run when he hit the one to pass Babe Ruth and he's running around the bases?
Yeah.
People are grabbing at him. Carlton Fisk is another one. The fans rush the field and they're like trying to grab him as he's running around the base. It's terrifying. It's fans should not. Now listen, I've rushed a football field before. I was 12 years old when I ran onto the field at Notre Dame one time, and it was pretty scary. So yeah, you don't want to injure your own guys out there, Benny. One thing you also don't want to do these days, if you are a manager in baseball, hell, if you are a radio host that covers baseball, you don't want to talk smack about analytics because you'll get killed. You will absolutely get murdered.
Well, I know where you're going here.
I speak from experience.
And this is simply just dumb.
It's dumb. It's dumb. It's a dumb don't do this. This is Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
When you look at it, you're using the analytics as a guide, but you're not going completely on that, right?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I think we've talked about this before. You know, if you just, I bet 85% of our decisions go against the analytics.
Oh, no.
And that's how it's always going to be, because that is just on paper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take into account the person's a human being, you know, how he performs in these big spots, all those things that a manager looks at. So you're going against analytics most of the time. But I think there's something to be said when all things are equal and you really, you know, you're taking all these things into consideration and the decision still feels very equal, that okay, let's lean on what does the matchup look like? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the projection that our analytics department is coming up with? What does it look like? And if it's, you know, a lot of points one way or the other, I think that's something to take into consideration and to try and make a better decision.
85% goes against the analytics? You can't say it.
That tells me he doesn't understand what analytics are. And I'm not saying there's no place for a little gut instinct and feel, experience as a manager in baseball. But the point of analytics is to take out those feelings that basically lead you in the wrong direction. For instance, pretend you are at 7 Mile Casino at a California blackjack table.
Yeah.
And you've got 17, and the dealer has 18. Now, we're supposed to...
He's got an 8 showing,
yeah,
right?
8 showing.
Yeah, I'm going to stay on 17.
You're supposed to stay in that situation because you're likely going to bust. But you've got a feeling. There's a look in the dealer's eye. There's a 4 under there.
Yeah.
And you decide
to hit.
Analytics would tell you not to do it.
Correct.
So you don't do it. You avoid that inner voice because if you play the long run, the right decision over and over
again, you're going to win more than you lose.
You're going to win more than you lose.
Yeah.
If you go away from that, then all bets are off. You don't really know what's going to happen. You may have a feeling that this is the time I should go against analytics, but you keep doing that, you're going to get yourself fired because you're going to be worse off than what the analytics said you were supposed to do.
You ever play California blackjack with the person sitting at the very end? They call it third base, the last seat, and they're the gut player, and they're hitting on 17, and they're
getting
the
face guard that would have busted the dealer. And yes, it drives you crazy.
I had to forcibly remove my friend Rob from a table because he was going to murder this guy. Yeah. He was going to
kill
him.
I would not want to sit at a California blackjack table with Mickey Callaway because he's sitting there and,
hey,
I got a 5. The dealer's got a 10. I'm just going to, I got a feeling.
I'm going to get 21.
Against the analytics, I got a feeling I'm going to stay on this one. I'm going to stay here because I got a feeling. I know the analytics says one thing. I'm going the other way because I'm smart. I'm Mickey Callaway.
Oh, man.
And I'm my own man. I make my own decisions.
It's one of those things, dude, that can get you fired. Now, listen. Mickey Callaway tried to fist fight a reporter. He's had his team on a pretty good run. Mickey, you can think that all you want. And you can, in fact, you can even do it all you like. You just can't say it right now these days. You just can't say it.
I need Hammer to come in to comment on our final Don't Do This story. Hammer's going to make his way back into the studio. This story is out of Seattle. The Seattle Times reporting. Washington State troopers noticed a car stopped on the shoulder of a busy highway on Tuesday night, pulled over to see if the driver needed assistance. What they found was the guy in the driver's seat holding basically it was this custom foam block, and there's a picture of it here, in which there are spaces for 8 active phones, all of which are playing Pokemon Go at the same time.
Genius.
Presumably, though, while he was driving. Obviously, he pulled over, so he wasn't driving. They didn't give him a ticket.
Yeah.
But he knew to pull over because there was, you know, must have been some Pokemon on the side of the road. So
unbelievable.
He was driving 8. With 8 phones going, playing Pokemon Go at the same time.
The commitment level is unbelievable. The respect I have, I can't even
begin
to tell
this
you.
Guy, his passions in the world, Olive Garden, Pokemon Go.
And marijuana. You know what's not going to be in that guy in Seattle's passenger seat ever, anytime soon? A woman. A woman.
Come on, do you not see me? My girlfriend's hot, and I play Pokemon Go with her all the time.
Yeah, now you play it.
You ever play with more than one phone?
I wish I could.
Play it in front of her, and she rips on you for it, and she should. She should. You're a grown man.
You want to come
she
see this setup?
Says that.
Before you go, you got to see this setup. Here, come look at this. So it's like this foam block, so that all the phones
are just
plugged right in. Some are different sizes. He's got the big iPhones. He's got the
so you can see what he's doing
the
there. He's doing
Motorola's.
Something very
he's
specific.
Got the smaller ones, the older models. Yeah,
he's taking down a gym right there. You can see what the special ball he's using. That's
whose gym?
It's there's gyms all around. Shut up. So that guy's a master.
Don't do this, dude.
Guy's gonna be a Pokemon genius one
day. Don't do this.
And what does that get you?
That guy, what he did, he took down the gym, and he's currently in the middle of catching the legendary Pokemon.
What does he win?
He gets the legendary Pokemon.
What do you win? What do you
the
get?
The legendary Pokemon.
What do you get?
Dude,
that's
get
a reward in and of itself.
You get to have a Mewtwo.
Oh my
a what?
A Mewtwo.
I can't do this.
What is Mewtwo?
Don't get me wrong. That's like not knowing who Michael Jordan is.
No,
yes. It's not.
Mewtwo and Michael Jordan are right next
to
each other.
Get the hell out of here. Just beat it, for the love of God.
Don't do this.
Holy crap.
On a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
8 at the same time, and he has
8.
He has mad respect for
Can
that.
Can we put Hammer on probation for that?
Seriously, mad respect. You don't know what Mewtwo and Michael Jordan are the same. All right.
Sorry. Stick to Olive Garden.
Yeah, stick to Olive Garden.
Come back, he's going to just be bloated with pasta. By Monday, no doubt about it. He, if you missed it, Hammer did purchase the never-ending pasta pass from Olive Garden for $100.
Tony disagrees. He says, "Hey, if you're winning on feelings, then F it. I've been that guy at the end of the table, and I was winning." Tony, God dang it, man! I don't want to play with you. Cannot sit third base if you're that guy. You want to sit first base? Fine. Third base, you can really affect everybody.
I want to add a little to this discussion when we come back, because I think this is fundamentally what baseball, one of the biggest disagreements the baseball fans, players, managers, front offices have, is how much analytics should be part of the game and how useful of a tool is it.
Well, did you see Bob Scanlon last night? Our beloved Scan was mixing it up.
All right, we will talk about that coming up. We've got Ben Reed's Raps, and we'll lead right into a Friar Friday. It is all coming up still here on Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. 97.3 The Fan.
Hoofhearted is also an OTL team name, I just found out.
Hoofhearted.
Come on. Hoofhearted. Terrible. Terrible.
So there was a real horse. You can go onto YouTube and find the race where the track announcer is down the stretch. Who farted? Who farted?
Save that clip, Paul.
That's what it is.
Save it.
Who farted? I'm a little I'm in full Friday mode.
Yeah, you are, man.
Got my Kangol and my chains too. We're just a few minutes away.
Ben yelling. Who
ready
farted?
For the weekend? I'm ready for the weekend.
Who farted?
Ready for the weekend. Hoof hard hit. Hoof.
Stop. Hard I don't hit. Like that word.
Not that's not the word. It's the horse's hearted. Name is hoof. Hearted. H-E-A-R-T-E-D.
If you say it,
farted. Hoof. Hearted. It's just if you say it fast, it's so farted. Who farted?
Who farted? That's amazing.
That's the name of the horse.
God, we got good Ben drops.
You know
real,
what?
Real horse. Real
booty,
race
booty,
horse.
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere.
That's not a race horse.
That is not, as far as we know.
But some we'll guy named that horse that just never grew up.
Got to get to that in just a second. We'll name our biggest fan. Our phone lines are open, 833-288-0973. We're talking analytics, but we're talking about analytics there and don't do this because of Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
His very odd take on it. Yeah, they look at the analytics and then they do the opposite 85% of the time. Is basically what his argument was.
Yeah, I go against the analytics 85%.
Like, but if you're Brody Van Wagenen, are you hearing that? And you're like, oh my
like,
God,
hey,
dude, what
up.
Are you doing?
Honestly, though, the point, and this is where I think people have a problem and the arguments start about analytics, is the point of analytics is if you're not doing it 100% of the time, then it's not going to do you any good. You can't just go with the analytics 50% of the time and say, oh, yeah, we're using the analytics. It works because in the long run, yeah, sometimes the decision's going to be the right one. Someone's going to be the wrong one. But if you make it over and over again, in the long run, it'll pay off with the maximum number of runs scored for your team, the fewest number of runs given up by your team. You make those decisions. That's the way it's supposed to work. So if all of a sudden, yeah, but today I'm going to do this and tomorrow I'm going to do that. And oh yeah, on Thursday we'll go with the analytics. Then it's completely meaningless. It's pointless at that juncture.
Look, it's really hard to balance both. And it's really hard. I have to imagine it's really hard to be a manager and balance both. There are some managers that do it better than others. AJ Hinch probably being the best at it right now in the game of baseball. And that organization, they probably do it better than everybody else in the Houston Astros. But the analytics people are the hardcore analytics folks are dug in. The old school baseball folks are dug in. Some people have their feet in both camps. I definitely lean more old school gut and feel. But I want to learn. I want to appreciate how it can make the game better for me.
It's
hard, though, Benny, because what it does is, like, I love Eric Hosmer. And Bob Scanlon loves Eric Hosmer. I love Hosmer. I loved him when he was in KC. I loved the signing. I'm glad that he's here. Is it an overpayment for what you're getting? Probably. But I love Eric Hosmer, so I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's a San Diego Padre. I love rooting for the guy because I love the guy. So Scan tweets out last night, remember the first few weeks of the season when Hosmer was hitting 184, some were wondering if he'd ever hit again. He has hit 296 since, got 18 homers while posting 81 RBIs and a 391 average with runners in scoring position. Very consistent climb back to being the dependable him. And then he just got murdered by analytics, people that are 100% on the analytics train, which is, again, it's okay because those numbers help back up their argument. Scan's argument of, hey, where's the discussion about his defense, leadership, clubhouse impact, influence on super young players, impact with runners in scoring position, winning influence, example on coming to play every day. That doesn't show up on Fangraphs, and that's when you get in trouble, and you don't have the numbers to back up your argument, so you feel like you've lost the argument.
I think, to me, it comes down to some of the bigger picture decisions, like don't bunt. Your analytics will tell you that a sacrifice bunt is almost always the wrong play. You're giving up an out. Outs are precious. An old school manager would say, hey, we can get a run here. You know, it's a close game. This is, you know, fifth inning. I want to get this guy, give an opportunity for the next guy to drive him in with a single. It makes a lot of sense in his mind. But over the long run, it's not some guess. The analytics, when they run it over not a season, we're talking, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of games, it shows that the bunt is going to end up overall with less runs scored in the long run than if you just hit away in those
situations. Absolutely.
That to me is the analytics we're talking about and why it doesn't work if you don't do it every time. Because it does, if bunting is the wrong play, but then you decide, 25% of the time I'm still going to bunt, then you're not doing analytics at all.
It's very strange, though, Ben, because if you're in Game 7 of the World Series and you're down one run, and the leadoff guy gets on, the next guy gets on, he walks. You don't bunt those guys over?
Well, see, now you're making an emotional decision, I think, in that situation. But now there are some times when analytics will tell you it is okay to bunt. I don't know if that's one of the situations it would be, but if it's not, there's a reason why you're not supposed to bunt, and that is the fact that three full swings at it, you're more likely to get that runner around from first base by taking three full at-bats than you are getting two at-bats with the guy at second base. That's what analytics is telling you.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I just know that the thing that maybe you can't analyze is what kind of pressure does that put on the pitcher, A, to make that play, or the catcher to make that play when executed really well. What kind of pressure is it on the pitcher now that there's a runner on third and a runner on set? You know, like,
see, but analytics does take that into account because the pressure has been factored in all those situations. Presumably, they've all faced those same pressures in those situations late in games, and that is part of what the numbers have told you. The numbers don't lie. The numbers take the emotion out of it. Your gut sometimes tells you the wrong thing. It leads you down one path when you should be going the other direction. And that's why they go with numbers, because they're cold, they are heartless, but they'll usually point you in the right direction.
I feel like sometimes numbers can I think numbers strictly, Ben, why do we need a manager then? Have a guy on a computer just telling, like, what do you need a manager for? The manager is the guy that's supposed to, what, motivate? I've heard this. This is what I've heard from Pottery fans about Andy Green. Well, he just doesn't motivate. He doesn't motivate the guys. Andy Green's an analytics guy, right?
Yeah.
We agreed?
I would say so.
I'd say he is as well. So, Andy Green, analytics guy, but he doesn't have a feel for his bullpen. He doesn't have a feel for his player. So, why have a manager? How do you have, like...
I would love to see that experiment, actually. Take on those minor league teams, and instead of a manager, have some sort of computer screen that's just in the dugout and tells you what's the best highest probability play to do right here, and then follow along with it. I wonder how that would work. It's Ben and Woods. We're all guests appear on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. To apply today at sdccu.com. Let's go out to our phone lines, 833-288-0973. CJ, down in Imperial Beach, wants to talk about analytics this morning with Ben and Woods. Hey, CJ.
Hey, you know what? My cat also got into framing, too, so Padres announcers must have been a little frisky last night.
A little, yeah.
Not much to do in Philly.
Mudcat said framing is overrated, and everyone went, oh, boy, here we go. That was awesome.
But I will say this about analytics in the Mets. Everybody laughed at them when they went out and hired an 82-year-old pitching coach.
Yeah, we did.
Since they have hired that man, they are 11 games over 500 and in the wild card hunt.
It's wild, right? It's a great point. And the analytics people will probably tell you, well, it's just an anomaly. It doesn't mean anything.
Are you saying
anything
that the 82-year-old doesn't know analytics, and is that why it's working?
Is that ageism on my part? Maybe. Fine, I'm an ageist. I would imagine, but I could be wrong, but I would imagine that 82-year-old is probably more old school feel guy. I would just guess. Right?
Well,
I would also
go ahead, CJ.
I would also state this. Baseball has always been an analytics game. It has never not been. Since the creation of the batting average,
sure,
baseball has been a game based off of statistics. It is the statistic that you care about that is, I think, the biggest issue right now. And runners in scoring position is a statistic that has been highly, highly undervalued over the last 4 years.
Very much
so. And that's
why
a guy like Hosmer is looked at amongst analytical people as being overrated because they don't value the statistic of runners in scoring position.
Correct. And I think the thing with Hosmer, too, it's hard because Scan made the point also of, man, it's really, really when you're measuring it against the contract. Okay, can you get that production from a guy for a lot less money? Yeah, probably. You can.
CJ, thanks for the call. Don't confuse analytics and coaching, though. I mean, there's still a place for coaching. A pitcher is always going to perform better if he can hit the corners, you know, you get a sharper break on your slider. Those are going to improve his overall numbers. That has nothing to do with analytics. You know, analytics tells you which pitcher might be a better guy to face a certain batter,
sure,
in the lineup based on matchups and previous performances. But in terms of coaching, there's always room for that, whether it's the manager, a pitching coach, a batting coach. Yeah, you can improve guys, you know, have them, you know, point out things they're doing wrong, you know, add little tips. Hey, might be able to add a little sink to that sinker if you do it this way, if you change your grip like this. That's coaching. That has nothing to do with analytics. You need coaches to help your players get better. That is irrelevant. I'm talking about the big-time strategies in baseball and the ones that managers sometimes ignore because they think they know better than what the long-term numbers tell them. And that's what analytics to me is.
Yeah, my boy Benny Bruff tweets in and says, ask the Dodgers how analytics work in the World Series. Numbers over 162 are different than in one game.
See, now, I disagree as well. Anyone who points out one case study and say, oh, that means analytics doesn't work.
No, he's not saying they don't work. I think if you go
in the World Series, even though over the course of like 100 World Series, though, the team that, you know, follows the analytics is going to do better than the one that doesn't. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win every time. Plus, you've got 30 teams that are all looking at analytics now. 29 of them don't win the World Series. It doesn't mean that analytics doesn't work.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you know, it's at some point, though, we're going to get to, don't you feel at that point, it's going to be harder and harder to find that diamond in the rough, that guy with the massive exit velo, because his team knows, oh, this guy's got, he crushes.
I mean, the A's had such an advantage when they were the only team.
Oh, yeah.
But now they don't.
But what did their advantage get them?
It helped them get a nice little run of competitive baseball.
Right. It helped them squeeze the most juice out of the lemon that they could get.
You're still going to be at a big disadvantage if you're paying your roster $35 million against a team that's paying $170 million.
Correct.
It's just, you know, that does, analytics will tell you that too.
Yeah.
Better players give you a better team. I love this. Our biggest fan is one of those two first name biggest fans today. If I call your name, you will have 10 minutes right now. To be the biggest fan, call us back at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll give you tickets to the Padres-Red Sox game on Sunday, August 25th, UCLA-Oklahoma tickets to the Rose Bowl for September 14th, and you'll be entered into the grand prize drawing, the Vegas getaway to the Flamingo on the Strip, plus tickets to see Paula Abdul's show. Here we go. Taylor Mark. In fact, Mark Taylor would be a very common name, but this is Taylor Mark.
Taylor Mark could be a guy, could be a girl. We have no idea.
You are the biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Good luck.
Time for the whitest man in America to spit some straight fire.
Oh, no. The fight's out. I'm about to punch your lights out.
Each week, Woods gives Ben lyrics from the world of rap and hip-hop to make him as uncomfortable as humanly possible. You're welcome, San Diego. It's Ben Reads Raps on 97.3 The Fan.
Hang on. Going live here on Instagram at Ben and Woods.
Oh, boy.
Paul says he wants me to remind everyone that the fan's going to be out at Grossmont Center on Wednesday from 2 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
At their certified farmer's market. I don't know if this is the right time for that or not, but
do it after Ben Reed's Raps.
I just did it.
West Court, enter to win the Grossmont Grand Slam Contest. Chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree to Grossmont Center. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Everyone's joining.
All right.
We're ready.
Are we ready? You just want me to go? You just handed this to me?
Yep, you're right, ready to go.
What do we got here? All right. When the pimp's in the crib, Ma, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you,
oh my God,
park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot. And if then get an attitude, pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot,
Jesus.
Pop it like it's hot. I got the rolly on my arm, and I'm pouring Chandon, and I roll the best weed because I got it going on. I'm a gangster, but y'all knew that. The big boss dog, yeah, I had to do that. I keep a blue flag hanging out my backside, but only on the left side. Yeah, that's the Crip side.
Oh, wow.
Ain't no other way to play the game the way I play. I cut so much you thought I was a DJ. 2-1, yep, 3. SNOOPDOGG. I can't fake it, just break it, and when I take it. See, I specialize in making all the girls get naked. So bring your friends, all y'all come inside. We got a world premiere right here. Now get live. So don't change the dizzle. Turn it up a little. I got a living room full of fine dime bristles. Waiting on the pizzle, the dizzle and the chisel. G's to the bizac. Now ladies, here we gizzle. I assume that was Snoop Dogg because of the S-N-O-O-P.
Very well. Your mom was watching live on Instagram, and she says, so proud with an eye roll emoji. I'm so sorry. It's my fault, Mrs. Higgins. I love you so much.
I got
much.
These nice chains out of it that they gave me here at Intercom my first week. And I've got my Kangol hat, which is a secondhand Kangol hat, but I've made it my own.
It is yours. That was amazing. And just delights me so much. Every Friday, I look forward to it. And you never, ever, he's literally never disappointed. Never once.
I got the rolly on my arm, and I'm pouring Chandon, right. And I roll the best weed because I got it going on. I'm a gangster, but y'all knew that. The big boss dog. Yeah, I had to do that. I keep a blue flag hanging out my backside, but only on the left side. Yeah, that's the Crips side.
That's like a gang thing. Crips and the blood.
Correct.
Blue and red.
Do you know what a Rolly is?
I have no idea.
Rolex.
Oh.
And Chandon
is champagne.
Chandon. That's what he says. That was... It's unbelievable.
Well, at least I don't think we... maybe if Ron Fowler's listening again this week. We don't have him on hold like we did last
right.
week. That was tough. We do have Glenn Hoffman coming up here in our Friar Friday.
Oh, my God.
Final hour of the week coming up. We will talk Padres. We will talk to the Padres third base coach from Philadelphia as they get ready to open a three-game series against Bryce Harper and the Phillies. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, no. Fernando Tatis Jr. still waiting on that official move, but it's probably coming today. Later on the disabled or the injured list. We will get to Friar Friday coming up next with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. We are 97.3 The Fan. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.